now 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis, and it's Tuesday morning, which time it means that's time for our regular update on COVID-19-related activities, events, and news. Riley County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs is joining us on the phone. Julie, just her words. Holy cow!
I know.
You know, we see numbers in the hundreds now, and let's talk a little bit about these numbers. You got some specifics, and we'll break it down a little bit more.
Yeah, so we have had about 112 more positives over the weekend. So we did have a big weekend, putting us at a total of 922 confirmed positives here in the county. Out of those, 523 are considered active. We've had 394 recover. Most of the new cases are from that 18 to 24-year age range. And at this time, the hospital is caring for two COVID-positive patients. And we do have one PUI that came through the ER yesterday. So that PUI means person under investigation. So they did test that person, and we'll have the results probably today. We did have a big increase in our percent positive. Last week, we were up to about 31.18%. That's definitely the highest that we've seen here in the county. The week before, we were at about 14%. So we keep going up pretty significantly. We currently have about 165 tests pending, and we've had a total of 6,824 negative tests in the county so far.
Okay. Well, you talked about Kansas State University, you know, and did you anticipate with the return of students that you would have a resurgence of these numbers to this level?
We knew that we'd see a spike in our numbers, maybe not to this level, but we were prepared to see that spike, yes.
Okay. Well, many of these with Kansas State University, and we're hearing lots of outbreak issues. And let's talk a bit about those and some of the areas that you have concerns with up at K-State.
Sure. So we have declared a few more outbreaks. That puts us at a total of 10 active outbreaks, including K-State football, 8 Greek houses, and the USD 384 school district. So we are currently watching those outbreaks, and hopefully we'll be able to declare them recovered before too long.
Okay. All right. Well, there's, this is obviously, going to have implications when it comes to schools, not just Kansas State University, but what do you anticipate with schools in Riley County with the result of some of these numbers? And here, once again, these are college student age, does that come into consideration with the K-12 schools and where these numbers seem to be growing?
Yeah, so we know that some of the criteria that USD 383 and some of the other local schools are using is considering the percent positive in the community. We're taking a further look at that. We're actually sitting down and having a meeting with USD 383 officials to discuss what that really looks like right now. Since so many of our cases are from that 18 to 24-year age range, actually most of the new cases in the last 3 weeks are definitely from that age range. We might look at some other factors, including severity of cases and the cases that we're currently seeing in, our high school, middle school, and elementary schools, which we're not seeing hardly any there. So that's a good thing. So we'll definitely take those factors into consideration.
Okay. You're in the midst of local health order number 18. What's the next step?
Yeah, so we're looking at that too. We actually have a meeting tomorrow morning with the command staff of the EOC. We're also meeting with our medical director at the health department, Dr. Hurl, to take everything into consideration, looking at our data and looking at what might need to be done for a next health order.
Okay, so possibly some shifts in that beginning tomorrow. I understand you have a couple of new events where, similar to, you've had, a couple of these where people have been able to drive through and get tested for free. What's the next step there? You got a couple of events that are in the works right now.
Yes, I'm happy to say that we're working with KDHE and the National Guard to put on two more, possibly three more, free testing days. And we're looking at some different areas, looking at specifically South Manhattan. That date is actually set. We're just not sure on the location of that yet, but we're looking at September 9th. That's a Wednesday from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. You can drive through and possibly get get free food as well. We're looking at that as well. We'll have more details hopefully later today, early tomorrow. We'll have a flyer that we'll put out on our Facebook page, and we'll send that out to everyone that can add that to their Facebook page or their website as well. So be looking for that. That's our next clinic in Manhattan. We also have a clinic that we're looking at for Leonardville, possibly that same day in the evening, September 9th in the evening, and then in Ogden on September 10th the next day. So we're excited to be able to work with KDHE on this and the National Guard. It is a free testing day, whether you have symptoms or not, and you don't have to have a doctor's order. So you just drive through and fill out some paperwork and get swabbed. It's a very easy process.
Are those limited to Riley County residents only?
No, we'd like to target certain residents, especially in the area that we're at, but anyone is welcome to come through those okay. clinics.
Especially with Leonardville, you know, closer to Clay County, closer to Marshall County and Washington County, that might be some interest of residents up there, I would think.
Sure, yep, anyone's welcome.
At the beginning of this, there was a discussion about finding a facility where people, you know, if we got, you know, an increase in numbers and had a lot of challenges where, you know, you talked about maybe like getting a hotel or something like that where people could sit through their, you know, 14-day time frame that they have to kind of stay out of touch with everybody. Now that these numbers are growing, apparently here with the return to K-State, is there still a plan for a facility like that to be utilized?
Yeah, so we know K-State does have a plan for their on-campus students. We also know that a lot of the Greek houses have set aside certain rooms and areas that they can have students isolate or quarantine. We used to have a non-congregate site that was ran by KDEM, our Kansas Emergency Management. However, because it was not utilized for a couple of weeks, we didn't have anyone in there. They decided to pull that since they were spending money on nobody being in there. We did have about 5 or 6 people, I think, utilize that at one time. But we can still look at bringing that back to the area. That was actually just a hotel that people could go to at no charge for the individual and spend their quarantine or like isolation period there. Of course, they had to meet certain criteria, so that meant maybe they were living with somebody who tested positive and they shared a bathroom and they wanted to be away from that person so that they could quarantine. That would be a situation in which they could utilize this place. So we're currently looking at that, hopefully to get that non-congregate site up and running again.
I saw that there has been some curtailing of Greek activities for the next couple of weeks. How do you anticipate that time frame to evolve as we continue to see numbers increase?
Yeah, so right now we suggested throughout September 10th to hold off on the events. We actually reached out to those sororities and fraternities that had filled out an event request form, and we asked them to push back their event just because we're seeing so many positives come from the Greek system. So we've asked them to do that, and we've also had meetings with leadership in the Greek community, and very good meetings. We talked about some of the protocols that they've put in place, some of the safeguards they have in place at their houses, and also kind of sharing information back and forth as far as what the timeline is for that. So we've asked them to cease those activities through the 10th, but we'll continue to monitor that. If we need to move that out further, we can do that.
Any concerns with some of the other residence halls at K-State?
Not at this time.
Okay. What about worries about child care providers? Any cap on how many children a daycare can take in?
We don't have a cap on that other than what is regular through KDHE, the regular regulations. But we don't have a cap on that as far as COVID is concerned. We are monitoring our daycares. We do have our child care licensing through the health department, and so they monitor 5 different counties, including Riley County. So we'll continue to monitor that. Daycare providers have been very good about communicating with our child care licensing supervisor, Heather Ritchie. And so once they have encountered a positive or if they are contact of a positive, they reach out to Heather right away, who then reaches out to myself or Andrew Adams so that we can get that taken care of.
Okay. Boy, we've covered a lot of things today. Anything else you'd like to recap with us here?
Just again, reminders to stay safe and keep everyone else safe around you. Remember to wear your mask. Keep your distance and wash your hands.
I'm seeing everybody wearing masks wherever they go right now, at least in Manhattan. at least in Manhattan. Julie Gibbs, Riley County Health Director and Local Health Officer, thanks for joining us this morning. Hopefully, when we talk Thursday, we'll have some more optimistic news.
I hope so. Thanks, certainly. Dave.
It's 7:13 in the morning at News Radio KMAN. Let's go ahead and take a look at our weather forecast.